Like, I could listen to this beat over and over. I just absolutely love this beat. I just think it's got, there's something about it that makes you want to move, dance, let your hair down, throw back your head, and know life is good. And life is good. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness, right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station that looks at literally every area of health. And there are so many, which is why there's so many of us on here. And we try to help you optimize yours. How you doing? You have to know that anything you say after I am really confesses who you are and what you believe about yourself. And when it gets into your inner being, that's who you are. So I hope, like me, you to remember that you are, but I will say, I am blessed and highly favored. I am a magnet for miracles. I am the solution to someone's problem, and I am the answer to somebody's prayer. And I hope you realize you're the same. Dance! Listen, I've got a packed show, so I haven't got time to be faffing around. Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week is no different. It is power-packed and it's really tight. I've got no time to lavish and chat. We're looking at why we lack protein. And for our pelvic floor and our intimate health, protein is essential. We're all talking about, also talking about diabetes. And whilst it's not specifically to intimate health, I do always try to steer all these conversations that come to me towards intimate health. I'm really blessed. I get asked to do lots of different interviews, but I try to tie it into where does it come back to. And literally, it's our center. It's the gateway that links our inner and outer world. It's the gateway that releases the toxins back into the outer world through waste. It's the gateway that brings in new life. It's the gateway that brings in ultimate orgasmic pleasure. It's the gateway that actually the trunk sits on and the legs lock into, that actually focuses and kind of dictates our posture, our performance, our body shape. And I was sent a video today, which was really powerful. And it talked about 13 reasons why people after the age of 60, so this is me, sassy 60, 62, obviously, there are 13 reasons why we're more prone to falling after the age of 60. So I've got to be very quick here. So one was muscle weakness, sarcopenia, it's loss of strength, especially in the legs and the core. Well, so you look at training. This is why when I do She Comes First, the 60-day journey, which starts on the 3rd of February, by the way, I have movements that matter and exercise. So in the comes, so she, we know already, is the self-love, care awareness, hormonal harmony, emotional empowerment. That is your she. That's what everything else is pinned on. Then the comes is obviously connections, oxygen, movements that matter, exercise, sleep. So there's a difference. And this is really important. We look at joint stiffness. Again, movements that matter. Changes in cartilage and connective tissue, especially around the ankles, knees and hips, which are obviously crucial. We have to look at being able to hold up our tilting reflexes and being able to remain stable over a ground, looking at where the eyes, the inner ear and the jaw want to remain level on the horizon. So further down, it talks about posture, the position from where all movement, including falls, begins and ends. So the Swiss ball class I do online on a Wednesday night is crucial because this is what you want to do. You want to understand it. I will tell you straight, I know I have a good body. It can be better. It's not the chiseled body it was when I was in my 30s and I was a record holder, but it's a good body. And posture is something I really look at. So number three was the vestibular system. So it tells the brain the position and the movement of the body as we age. And that's obviously the eyes, the inner ear, and the jaw. It looks at proprioceptive weakness. Well, the ball heightens your proprioception like nothing else. And it's like playing. It's fantastic. Vision changes. The ball. Exercise we do with the foam roller. Bam. Vitamin B12, your central nervous system, feeds the central nervous system. That's your connection and communication system to for the rest of the body. We also look at, obviously, what it does in terms of being able to absorb iron, etc., etc. Medications. Many people are on medications and a cocktail of medications, but the side effects of that can actually have an impact on our central nervous system and where we find ourselves and, of course, falls. Chronic health conditions, diabetes, nerve damage in the feet, Parkinson's and strokes, even arthritis can cause these problems. Dehydration. That sensory system that tells you that you want to have a drink, that quest for thirst, it wanes as we get older. So it has to be an intentional thing, whether it's going to be from water itself or hydrating foods. So nutrition and lifestyle is crucial. We talk about that because it's the F in She Comes First. Fear of falling. So the anxiety around it alone can be a problem. But you've got to look at decreased sole sensitivity as well. You've got to look at your feet. Everything I do with my clients is barefoot training because the shoes and the stuff we wear in everyday life shut down the nerve endings in the feet that send the signals back and forth to the brain. It's bloody amazing. It's really amazing. Postural changes. Listen, age-related changes in posture. No, it's not age-related changes in posture. It's lifestyle habits, habitual lifestyle habits, poor habitual lifestyle habits that have the most impact on postural effects and cognitive function. So it's about understanding the things you do can enhance your cognition to keep you where you need to be. Now look, I'm 7 minutes in and my interviews are 43 minutes long. So I best shut up and bring the first interview in. So it was really powerful and I'd love to share that. But the next 60-day journey starts on Monday. All of this is covered and then some. It really, really is important. And once you start to understand and identify, where does my self-love come from? What was I born into? How do I see myself? Where's my self-worth? Because that really dictates how I care for myself. Because if I don't have that element of self-worth and self-love, my self-care is superficial. It's about the outside in and what you see me or how you see me that you will accept me and I can move forward. And my self-awareness ties into all of these issues around falling because how we move in space, how we see ourselves, what we are aware of, our breath, all of that tells a story. It's so powerful. It's untrue. If you want more information, you can send me an email. It's finally up and running again. Jenny@jennyrussell.com. Just Jennifer minus the F-E-R is Jenny with an I. J-E-N-N-I at jennyrussell.com. And remember, Saturday the 8th of March, International Women's Day. If you're in central London, we're going to have a blast. Let's play a trail.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Are you a person
that lacks protein in your diet, because there's a whole craze around being a vegetarian and the types of protein you get. And because you lack protein, do you lack iron? This is a conversation I'm going to have with the wonderful Sophie Bertrand, who's a registered nutritionist. So Sophie, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Hi, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So there has been a survey done, and it's saying that less than half the UK consumers say they aren't getting enough protein in their diet.
Yeah, it's quite a big number. And actually, there's people doubting themselves as to, you know, whether or not they are hitting their recommended, you know, intake and how they do this. And I think there's lack of awareness around its importance as well. So protein is, you know, it supports so many different functions in our body. It's very, very essential. And we need to be getting complete proteins as well. So that complete amino acid profile. And as lovely and as nourishing as plant-based proteins are, they don't tend to give that complete protein unless you're kind of mixing them quite cleverly. So like rice and beans, for instance. So yeah, we could all do with making sure that we've got that complete protein in our diet to make sure we're getting that adequate intake to help support overall well-being.
Yes, and I think this is a really important point, because there is such a drive towards moving away from meat and going plant-based, but that doesn't suit everybody. And the thing is, it's not a one-size-fits-all, but everyone's like, go plant-based. You've got cancer? Go plant-based. You've got this? Go plant-based. You've got an injury? Go plant-based. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, where are those amino acids coming from? Where are those purines coming from? Where are those essential things that are in meat proteins and fish proteins that are not in plants?
Exactly. And it becomes a little bit of a trend, and then we start to lose sight of the health side of things. So, you know, I think plant-based eating is wonderful. I think there's an abundance of nutrients that come from it. But with people kind of jumping on this, oh, yeah, I'm plant-based, you know, I'm doing it for X, Y, Z. That's great. But have you thought about the nutrients that you're missing in your diet as a result of that? You know, things like calcium, B12, iron, protein, you know, these are things that are absolutely essential for overall well-being and optimal functioning. You know, things like our skin, hair, nails, our cognitive function, our performance, all these things could be affected. And it's something that people don't necessarily think about.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because I saw a survey, I have it on one of my pages for one of the workshops I do. And it says by 2040, that researchers suggest that Alzheimer's will increase by 49%. So in terms of when you talk about cognition and B12, it's not available in the abundance it needs to be in plant foods. And just saying to yourself, right, I'm going to take a vitamin B12 spray instead, isn't quite the same, is it?
Is it not? That I do like a food first approach as a nutritionist. And the bioavailability of supplements is never going to be as good as it is from the whole foods. Yes, you know, if you have a certain deficiency, supplements may be helpful for some individuals. But generally speaking, a food first approach is best, because, like I said, that bioavailability is much better from the whole foods. And yeah, I think there was a really scary statistic recently that if you're over the age of 80, one in two people now are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, which is just heartbreaking.
Well, I'm sitting here, my mum has it now, so I'm sitting here and she's just there, and now she's nonverbal. So excuse me, a moment ago she just started looking like she was choking, and her eyes just started to glaze. But because she can't speak and because she can't tell me what's going on, she was just sweating. So I was that close to saying, all right, we can't do this, but I managed to calm her down. Her heart was beating at the speed of light. But I can't, you know, you've got to try and work out what is happening, what is she experiencing, try and make her comfortable. You can't talk. And I always say to people that I think the worst thing you can do is lose your memory, because there's so, you know, I remember giving birth, I had, excuse me, I'm sorry, I got a bit of a sore throat today. I had the most amazing labor experience. I would never want to forget that, you know, becoming a record holder when I was competing, I'd never want to forget that, you know. You know, giving my mum her first grandchild, I'd never want to forget that. Yeah. So there's so many amazing things that we've done. But if we, you know, Alzheimer's on the increase, that's another one. But then you see, you talk about diabetes, you talk about, you know, the importance of iron for energy, for blood formation, for so many different things, for immunity. So, you know, to be able to absorb other nutrients as well. So these things are really crucial. And I think what's happening is the plant-based trend is that you're just being told to go plant-based, But you're not being told, you're being told it's better for you. But in which way is it better for you? And if it doesn't have those key nutrients we're just talking about, you're not being told where to find them.
Well, this is what we need to consider, because of course it is beneficial to add more plant foods into your diet. You know, you can increase your fiber intake, micronutrient intake, you know, an abundance of nutrients. However, that doesn't mean let's forget about, you know, the other foods that are potentially making you feel good. We want to think about what we can add into our diet, not what we can restrict.
Mm. And I think, you know, as a gym member as well, you see a lot of young people in January's here. David Lloyd's, they're trying to attract a younger crowd. So everybody's just on these whey protein drinks.
Yeah. Protein has definitely become a bit of a craze. And again, I think we've lost sight of kind of quality over quantity. Like you say, a lot of gym goers, I think they're on the protein shakes. You see them drinking before, after, during. You've got their amino acids and energy drinks. But actually, we could be getting a lot more quality protein and other nutrients as well from something like, you know, a nice grass-fed beef.
Yeah, well, actually, I've got a wonderful grass-fed beefsteak at home to go home to this evening. These guys come from the Cotswolds, so I go to the farmer's market and get my meat.
Me too.
There's the Welsh butcher who lives in the Brecon Beacon, so I know I've got really lovely meat from him. And then there's a guy from the Cotswold who brings all the gamey meat, so he brings the venison. So last week I bought some wild venison mince from him, which I gave to my mum, so just mix up the different types of protein. And, you know, I don't eat red meat every day, but, you know, I do love a bit of lamb. I do love a bit of venison, you know. I recognize that I like chicken, you know, eggs. Again, this morning I gave my mum eggs with mushrooms, peppers, sriracha, shallots, and samphire and Manchego cheese. So for me, she's got the array of everything that she needs. And then the collagen powder. I'm sure there's a level of bovine in the Botox that people are putting inside themselves. So they're vegan, but I'm sure there's some bovine in the Botox that they're using to make the collagen to do the fillers. So, you know.
Yeah, and just to go back to your point, diversity is key. You know, we're not supposed to be eating the same things every day. You know, our gut like diversity in the diet. We're exposing ourselves to a more variety of nutrients, micronutrients, macronutrients, and, you know, different types of fiber come from different types of plant foods. So again, you know, if you're, you know, you're on this plant-based diet, you need to be mixing it up and including a diverse range of ingredients.
Definitely. And also, I think as a plant-based, you know, sometimes people, you know, having this whole argument on LinkedIn at the moment about the air fryer and microwaves and whatever else, which I just don't believe in all that fast stuff. I say conveniently making us sick, but you know, we should really do, like, we do a 4-day rotation. So, you know, understanding how long food takes to transit through the system. But by going, like yourself, myself, going to the farmer's market, going to the shops, buying the food, preparing it, I know the quality of the food I'm buying, I know the preparation that goes into it, I know the cooking process and what I use to cook my food in. So then I know what my body is getting. I know what I'm giving to my mum.
Yeah.
But a lot of the plant-based diets are also a lot of processed foods because people don't want to spend time cooking. So they're buying a lot of processed plant-based. So it's funny because it just depends on where it's processed, doesn't it, really?
I was actually going to say that a lot of the, you know, when people decide to go plant-based and cut meat out, they'll turn to those alternatives.
What is that?
Really are not. You know, once in a while is fine, you know. That, you know, we don't need to restrict anything completely, but if you're having these kind of meat alternatives which are heavily processed, you know, added salts, added sugars, lots of different additives, that's really not going to support your overall well-being. You know, that versus, let's say, you know, an artificial processed piece of beef, which is obviously plant-based, versus your grass-fed steak, I know which one I'm choosing.
Yeah, and if you don't want to eat meat, I don't get why, if I don't want to eat meat, I'm going to eat a meat-based substitute. Exactly. You know, I'm not looking for it to taste like meat, because if I don't want to eat meat, then I shouldn't want a food to taste like what I don't want to eat. Mm-hmm. I could talk to you all day. This is a whole other conversation. Because it's frustrating. So, you know, the importance is this. Just explain the importance of iron. I think really we just need to break things down. So what is the importance of iron so people understand why we're having this conversation today.
You know, iron is very important. You know, a lot of people suffer with iron deficiency. A lot of people don't know that they have iron deficiency. And actually, I was very low in iron quite recently. I've had, you know, two very healthy pregnancies, but, you know, that is a lot on the body, a lot of nutrient depletion going on when you're kind of carrying, birthing, and then breastfeeding babies. So I was feeling incredibly tired, incredibly low in energy. And I'm a healthy person, you know. And I just thought, you know, something's off here. And I went and got my bloods checked and I was really low in iron. I was also getting ill every 6 to 8 weeks, which is really, really unlike me. Prior to having kids, I was never ill. So, you know, it contributes to things like fatigue, tiredness, immunity. Also, you know, you might notice your skin, hair and nails not looking so healthy as well. You know, it's incredibly important that we make sure that, you know, not just iron, any of our kind of, you know, things like B12, calcium, vitamin D, all of these levels are sitting at optimal, because, you know, things start to, you know, break down. You know, you, like I said, you could get ill more often. Your skin doesn't feel as great. You haven't got as much energy in the morning. Your sleep might be affected. And these all have a knock-on effect to, you know, inflammatory markers in our body. And that's when we're more susceptible to things like all these illnesses that we want to stay away from, you know, later down the line.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point. And obviously as well, when you're older as well, you want to try and avoid those. You don't want to decrease your bone density. You don't want to lose your energy. You don't want to increase your instances for things like osteoporosis or osteopenia. You don't want those, you know, brittle bones. You don't want anything like that. But this is where I think people miss it, because they just think, well, I don't need to eat this. But if this has key, and enough as a nutrition and lifestyle coach and a specialist in pelvic floor, I give people, I've got a book on, you know, this does this for your pelvic floor, this does this for, you know, you have to understand about the blood, formation of blood, the contraction of muscles, the relaxation of muscles, you know, the membrane. You want to have these key vitamins and minerals in your diet to help you combat prolapse, bladder weakness, you know, and those kind of things, recurrent cystitis or whatever else you may be struggling with, and UTIs. So it's really important to understand what protein does for the body.
Yeah.
And then really understand what's in within normal meat-based proteins as opposed to plant-based proteins. And then recognize that processed food has been, you know, it may be plant-based, but it's processed in the plant.
A lot of misconceptions lie, because, you know, there are studies saying that, you know, these, you know, red meats and different types of meats are associated with things like increased risk of cardiovascular disease. Actually, these studies are being, you know, they're coming out of research that are done on these processed meats. You know, it's not just the plant-based proteins that can be processed. There's other meats in the supermarket that, you know, essentially, you know, things like sausages, for instance, you know, heavily processed and not, you know, being associated with, you know, types of illnesses like type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. We're not talking about that quality grass-fed beef like we were talking about before. It's the types of protein that you really need to think about, and
right.
You know, put the trust back in yourself. You know, stop looking to what everyone else is doing and what you think we should be doing or you should be doing. You know, we're all smart people. We know that, you know, organically raised meat is much better for our health than something that's, you know, is factory farmed and has been processed along the way.
And this is it. And I say to people, look, go to the farmer's market. You think it's expensive. Okay, so go to the farmer's market towards the end of the day. Go towards the end when they don't want to take, you know, when Stephen comes down from the Brecon Beacons, he does not want to take all that meat home. So he may just do the last few bits. He might do them half price. There are guys that will do them half price because they're like, okay, look, but I've got a few pieces left, might as well just get rid of it. So half price is better than taking the meat home and wasting it. So, you know, there are different ways you can do it. You can buy one piece, you know, you can decide what it is you want to have. You know, the Cotswold man does these lovely venison pies. Now, I'm not a person that eats the pastry in a week, but the venison pie, that's a treat for me.
We talk about quality over quantity. You know, buy your good quality red meat, and, you know, half it and have it with some lentils or black beans for some plant-based nutrition as well, and then save the other half, you know, batch cook and have another portion for the next day. And I get that, you know, eating well and good quality food can be more expensive. However, I do always like to just question where people are putting their money. You know, are you buying a coffee on the way to work every day? Could you have your coffee at home and save yourself £4.90? You know, that's how much a coffee costs these days.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And if you do that every other day, you know, you could buy yourself a good portion of good quality meat with that money.
Exactly. But people say that eating well is expensive. Yes, the investment is more than your standard investment.
What better thing to invest in your health?
Exactly. But sickness is expensive as well. So is sickness as well. My answer is so is sickness. Sickness is very expensive. It's expensive to the point that it could cost you your life. So I don't know anything more expensive than that. Okay. So we've got to be able to look at different ways. And so I do a lot of workshops and 60-day journeys just to try and get people just to think, okay, fine. And when I link that back to, like I said, everything comes back to our center. It comes back to our intimate health. And that's what drives our confidence and everything about who we are. If there's nothing wrong with our center, we think nothing of it. But the minute there is an issue around your pelvic health, you know, your wardrobe choice, your social connections, your work, your cognition, everything about what you want to do suddenly becomes into question because of this area here. This area wants key nutrients and proteins and iron and calcium and B12 and everything we talked about as much as any other part of the body. So we have to remember that, and we have to think to ourselves, fine, you know, don't let your whole life be transformed because you're not taking in the key nutrients and you're not really aware of how your body works. And then suddenly you're thrown into this kind of situation where you're just trying to, where fear takes over and now you don't know what to do.
Exactly. And I just think knowledge is power. And a lot of us are, you know, ignorance is bliss. You know, so many people, you know, research suggests that, you know, so many of us don't want to know if something is going on in the body. But actually, the sooner you know, the more ahead you can get. And, you know, the better you can optimize your well-being for the future. Don't be ignorant when it comes to your health. You know your body, know your mind, know what, you know, you need to do to nourish yourself.
Exactly. And don't be fearful to know, because it's more scary to find out after than it is to actually learn before and prevent.
Exactly.
Sophie, I've got to round up. This has been absolutely fantastic. We can talk again. So where can people get more information? Where can we find you? Are you on social media?
You can find me on social media, yes, at @SophieBertrand_. And in regards to the study and the research that we've talked about, you can find more on the HCC website, which is eatwelshlambandwelshbeef.com.
Fantastic. Or Welsh beef. I won't even argue Welsh beef because it is kind of nice. I'll move it all the way. It goes straight to the breakfast beef because I love it. And it comes down, hello, flour. Oh, I just like
it. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cafe Nero, Costa Coffee, Gales, Greggs, Pret a Manger, Starbucks.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. To add Health Triangle Magazine to UKHealthRadio.com, just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are speaking today about diabetes and our self-diagnosis and the misconceptions or the misinformation that we may find on the internet, the one size fits all. And I am blessed to be speaking with Avida Nazari, is that right? And Miguel Barclay, and we are going to discuss this conversation. So Avida and Miguel, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both also for agreeing to do this thing, because I think this is the problem, I suppose, when it comes to nutrition and lifestyle. All of a sudden, social media has made everybody the expert. And because everybody becomes the expert and you just meet one person that comes on and you think, I can identify with that person. I want to look like that person. So I'm going to do what they're doing. So why is this such a major problem? Who wants to start?
Maybe I can start, Jenny. And it's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners today to talk about people living with diabetes and, of course, also new initiatives, which is the Easy Everyday Meals. Around 4 million people in the UK live with type 2 diabetes. Many of our loved ones, I guess, are listening now in. And it is, of course, the management depends entirely on maintaining a balanced diet as well as physical activity. And as you mentioned, we at Novo Nordisk, being in diabetes for 100 years, thought it would be interesting to take a look at, especially specifically on the impact of cost of living and social media on people who live with diabetes. And in doing so, we identified what you just mentioned, that 4 out of 10 people living with type 2 diabetes in the UK have either themselves or their families tried one of these dietary hacks online. And of course, whilst there is a wealth of information online, none of these are tailor-made and they are not medically verified. So that's the concern. And that's why, of course, we thought it would be great. I mean, the survey also showed the impact of cost of living and ability of especially people with type 2 diabetes accessing the healthy diet. And the impetus of the initiatives come about that I'm sure Miguel is going to talk about it, which was our everyday easy meals, trying to work with one of our nutritionists. Miguel put together recipes which are going to be budget friendly, but then at the same time, bespoke for type 2 diabetes.
Wonderful. So, Miguel, over to you then. I'm going to ask you, because I'm as a nutritionist and lifestyle coach. The cost of living crisis has been, I mean, I say there's two costs of living. So there's a cost of living in terms of what you go and buy. Then there's a cost of living in terms of what you choose to accept and live with. And type 2 diabetes can be reversed. It can be minimized. But many people just stick to the medication. And they so that cost of living becomes quite expensive because it leads on to other issues. But what have you found from your research?
So primarily, I'm a budget chef. So this is exactly in my wheelhouse. And what we were finding were that the quality of food, the balanced diet, a lot of this was going out the window due to cost constraints. So for me, it was important to come up with some budget meals, but ones that hit all of those goals nutritionally. So I actually worked with a nutritionist because, again, one of the things you've got to watch out for, there's a lot of chefs out there, but a lot of them aren't nutritionists. So any advice they're giving you needs to be double checked. And because this is done with a nutritionist, it sort of has that seal of approval that it is nutritionally balanced and is going to be doing you good, not harm. So I came up with 7 recipes, and it did take a while. So each recipe needed to be tweaked and then tweaked again. One of the easy hacks for budget chefs is just cram it full of carbs, but you can't do that. That is probably the easiest thing that a budget chef can do, is make sure you're full by cramming it full of carbs. But that isn't what you need. That is not hitting your goals nutritionally. So it was a big eye-opener for me. We had to get the carbs down. We had to get the protein up. And we had to balance it all out. So I've got one here, which is a gnocchi recipe. So traditionally, I'd just smash a load of potatoes in there, make it tasty. Lovely, you're full and you're happy. But it's not doing you any good. So we substituted out the potatoes for parsnips and carrots and stuff like that, and a little bit of butternut squash. So you're still getting the starchiness and the feeling of being full, but you're also helping your body by hitting those nutritional goals. And I basically did that with all the recipes. Each recipe took 5 or 6 little tweaks here and there. An easy one was sticking some yogurt in there. So some Greek yogurt, absolutely fantastic for you.
And what dish was that?
Well, there's a couple of dishes. So we've got a black bean chili. So you want to add a little bit more protein to that. Whack in some yogurt, because and also it makes it look a little bit prettier. So there's two things that I need to do. I need to make it easy to give you a chance of doing it, but I need to make it look delicious as well. So it's all very well making a chili and just photographing a thing of chili, but it doesn't look that pretty unless you put little bits on it. So what we did was we roasted some red peppers and we put those on it, and then there's a little bit of yogurt and then a little bit of coriander scattered over the top, and it's something that you're going to want to cook, and that is what I do. Like, I make it look easy and make it look delicious and inject you with a little bit of enthusiasm to make it.
You know, it's interesting, because I spoke to a doctor last week and we were talking about the rise in obesity and looking at that. And again, I think, like, I'm one of 6, and my mum had 6 of us. And I always say, like, you know, when you're from that working class and you don't have a lot of money, you know, the things that you want to eat that will do you really well cost you more than the things that don't. So if you've got a man that's gone to work all day, and my dad was a carpenter, he's worked really hard, he can't come home and have a sliver of protein and a couple of greens and then say to him, this is his dinner. So what you do is, you know, if you've got one chicken between 8 people, the parents and the family, you've got to make that chicken stretch between 8 people, make the spinach that shrinks into nothing stretch between 8 people. So, of course, the natural thing is to do is to fill the plate with the carbohydrates. And we will also talk about the pyramid, which is so outdated, because that just messes everybody up. But you've got, so this is where it becomes hard, because people have got so used to filling their plates to fill themselves, as you said. But now they've found themselves in this bind where they can't regulate their sugar. They need to change it all around. It becomes more expensive. So it's like shopping at the end of the day to try and get the bargains, or going to the farmer's market where it's that, you know, you can get what you need and it's a little bit cheaper. But it's also having those lessons. So having the recipes that you've done are really great. Have you considered, or are you going to do any kind of online, like, live combine, so people know how to, are these meals pre-prepared, or are you going to help people to learn to cook them for themselves?
So what I'm going to do is a load of videos. So there's step-by-step guides, and it will show you exactly how to do it. So there's lots of hacks in there, like back to the gnocchi recipe. You don't want to boil a load of potatoes and then mash them and let them steam and all of that. So what I do is I just roast a load of veg, mash it with a fork, roll it up, a little bit of flour, chop it up. And then you don't boil it afterwards either. So a true gnocchi recipe has like 2 boiling steps, or at least an oven and then a boiling step. But a lot of people aren't going to want to get a massive vat of water out and start boiling it. So what we do is we just go straight in and pan fry it after we've made it. And it really, really, really makes a difference, because not many people are going to make real traditional gnocchi. But this little hack that I've got is something that you can do at home. And yes, there's going to be a load of videos out, and basically I'll take you through all the 7 recipes. Pick a few you like. If you like all 7, then that's your week's meal done. keep repeating it every week, and you know you got a verified nutritionally balanced meal.
Yeah, because I mean, I also always make jokes and say that when I meet a man, it's going to say, you spend how much on food? And I did a show back in 2009, Economy of Gastronomy, with Allegra McKevedy and Paul Merritt. And that was filmed for a week, and they were trying to bring your budget down. So, you know, I was spending on average about £150 a week. So trying to bring bring the budget down. And it was quite interesting, because whilst they make the meals look cheaper and make the things spread further, by the time you buy all the little condiments and bits to go for each meal, you end up spending more than 150 quid. So that's a big budget for two people. But I like all things organic and crazy stuff like that. But and I like nice stuff. But so it is a big budget. But if you don't have that kind of disposable income, then you're down to this thing where you've got to change the, because like potatoes, potatoes that cooked really nice, taste really nice. But for a diabetic, that's just a sugar crash waiting to happen. So being able to have a recipe like what you're saying there and actually let people know that just because you've substituted the potato for a parsnip or a carrot doesn't mean you've taken away the flavor or the experience or the enjoyment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. It even tastes better. So what we've done is instead of boiling it at the beginning, we've actually oven roasted it and you get a little bit of caramelization. So a lot of the flavor with vegetables, like I never boil broccoli or any of my vegetables. I never boil carrots. I stick them in the oven, a little bit of salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil, and it magnifies the flavor. Like you get a tiny little bit of charring on the outside and that's like quadruple flavor. Little hacks like that. And then back to making stuff stretch, I've got this chicken cassoulet recipe, which is just two chicken legs, and then you bulked it out with beans. So you've got basically the same beans that you get in baked beans, like cannellini beans. And it's just a beautiful recipe, and they eat that all throughout France. And it's a delicacy. It's an absolutely gorgeous recipe. But it's using budget ingredients, and people in England just aren't quite comfortable with that. There's still that meat and two veg mentality. They want a steak and chips and peas or whatever it is, or a lamb chop and peas and boiled potatoes. But that's expensive. If you're buying, imagine you've got a family of six and you've got to buy six lamb chops, the best part of 30 quid.
Yes, that's right. So, Abidir, back to you. How many of these recipes have you tried? And what other advice have you got for? Because I think, like I said, the hardest thing for anybody to do is change. That's the hurdle.
Yeah, definitely, Jenny. You know. And I was so enjoying Miguel's conversations because I'm a terrible cook, so I got lots of hints now. Going back to it, maybe I start by saying when your listeners can actually find these recipes, because they're going to be available on our website, novonordisk.co.uk, on a printable and downloadable.
Say the website again, sorry.
Novonordisk.co.uk. And people can download it. It's downloadable and printable, so they can follow. I think I will definitely need to do that because, as Miguel described, I am one of those people that need to follow a recipe. But I want to also go back to the importance of a balanced diet for people living with diabetes, because Miguel very nicely mentioned replacing veggies, for example. The hacks, for example, that we saw in our survey online is that sometimes people end up cutting out all the fruits or all the carbs from their meal. And this is not the right thing to do for type 2 diabetes. It's a balance of diet. So, for example, they say on your plate, half of it should be vegetables, high fibers, a quarter of it should be lean protein. So you can take proteins. If you are non-vegetarians, for example, skinless chicken or fish. And if you are vegetarian, lentils are a very good source of that lean proteins, right? And then when you go to the remaining quarter, it can be actually carbohydrates or it can be veggies with high fibers and high starch, right? So I think that it's important for people to end up recognizing that for type 2 diabetes, you don't necessarily need to cut out everything, all the joys in life. And some of these hacks, which are really about abstaining everything, is actually doing more harm. And examples that Miguel brought, being creative, getting innovative about it and bringing new ingredients, and then at the same time, giving yourself some of the joys of life, because it's about that balance and it's not about everybody, right?
I'm going to challenge you there. Two things. It's quite interesting because what we tend to do is because vegetables and fruits are carbohydrates. And so when people go carbohydrates and vegetables, like, no, carbohydrates, vegetables and fruits are carbohydrates. And so we've got to change the language around how we
eat food. Yeah.
Because you've got carbohydrates, proteins and fats.
Yeah.
So you don't have to always have skinless chicken, even as a diabetic, because you need quality fats. But it depends on the quality of the meat and the food you buy, as Miguel was saying about
I didn't mention fat, sugar, and salt, which is about reduction and then replacing the fat with the good fat, right?
Yeah, you've got to make sure you've got good fats. You also need salt for bone health. So you've got to know, again, with getting the right salts in. You don't take all the salts out. That's another misconception as well. You need salt for muscle contraction. You need the bone health. So you don't take all the salt out as well. That's the other misconception. And I think the other thing that I do, like I've published a couple of books, and in my second book, I have an acronym for diet. And the acronym for diet simply means difference in eating this, difference in eating that. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's only two ways to eat. You're either eating towards optimizing your health or eating towards minimizing your health. So the other challenge I was going to say for you is that the joys of life is optimizing your health, as opposed to looking at the things that don't help you well and classifying them as joys. That's why people struggle. Because if I'm going to make your gnocchi, Miguel, and you're going to try to convince me that roasting other vegetables is nicer than a good old mashed potato. If the potato is a joy of life, the other vegetables are never going to win. But if I start to look at my food in a different way, and that's the education. So we know people need to move. We know they need to eat well, but they need the right education. So if I decide that the treat I'm going to give myself is to optimize my health, but with full awareness, I'm going to allow myself to have a potato because that's what I want today. I'm going to do that. But as a diabetic, I have to understand why is it important for me to substitute these foods out. And there is joy in these foods. The foods that I'm substituting aren't joyful for me because they're not helping me to get where I need to be. The foods that I'm now being introduced to because I've not been eating them, I'm like, oh my goodness, these foods are nice. And if I roast it this way, this is nice. So I'm now having a different experience. And now I'm having joy in my new gnocchi because I've found new joy. Does that make sense?
No, definitely, definitely. And to your point, it is also going about that misinformation bit that we initially mentioned. You know, it may be right for one person and not right for the other, right? And the second bit is, you mentioned one size fits all. It's not. Be a bit careful about misinformation online, and I guess try to take the wealth of information that exists, but then really look at the medically verified sources and have conversations peer to peer. I think that there are many. Diabetes UK provides lots of support for people living with diabetes in terms of a peer to peer support. So people who are living with diabetes can actually give themselves experiences, and that experience is a lot more firsthand and kind of talks about how do I cook for my family? How do I live my life and keep the balance in?
Mm. Yeah, I think we've got to do that definitely. And we've got to tailor it as well. We've got to sort of fine tune what works for us and what doesn't. And just look at different ways in which we see food, because food is energy. And that energy is supposed to give us the vitality to keep moving. But if we're eating the wrong foods in the wrong portions at the wrong time, coupled with the levels of stress that we're having, and also food is mental, emotional as well. We find ourselves in these positions, and then so we're going to go to the internet because we're going to go, this is a quick thing. So can I just come back to you, Miguel? Your meals that you make, because when I was in lockdown, I had all my clients, we was doing online cooking together. So we did it, became a massive thing. We ended up being online for hours in the end, just chatting afterwards. But it was about trying to make meals fun, make meals easy to prepare so that people didn't feel that they had to have a lot of time. Because some of the meals we made, we'd sit down and eat together and discuss it. Some meals were really easy to do, really tasty. Some meals, whilst they were tasty, there was too much preparation. How much time and preparation? Because that's the other thing. They're only time poor because they choose to use time in different ways. How much time will it take for people to make the average meal?
Well, what I like to do is my hack is that I do a little bit of prep and then something happens like it goes in an oven. Or it gets boiled or something like that. So for me, when I cook at home personally, I only like doing 10 minutes of actual cooking, and then the rest needs to take care of itself. Or it doesn't fit in with my lifestyle. So all of these are under half an hour. Some of them are tiny, tiny bit longer. If you've got to cook some chicken in the oven, I've got an oven fried chicken, which is like an oven version of a KFC, basically. but all of them are pretty simple, pretty quick. The gnocchi's a little bit more labor intensive, but I mean, again, you're only looking at 10 minutes of actual standing in front of it and doing it with your hands. The rest is putting it in the oven or something like that. So these are ones that can slot in easily into your lifestyle. If you've got half an hour, you can get all of these done. But what I like to do is 10 minutes and then go away, do something else while it cooks, and you don't really have to worry about it. Come back and then you've got your meal. And I think that is probably the sweet spot.
Lumpy.
Yeah.
Did you share that in your videos then? Because I think that's the thing for some people. It's like, look, you know, I'm like you. I don't like spending a lot of time in the kitchen. So these meals I've prepared are going to allow you to do X, Y, Z. And whilst that's cooking, go off and pamper yourself or...
Yeah, so the videos are being shot next week, so basically they're going to be shot, essentially they're shot in real time and then just edited out so that you don't get the long pauses. So
yeah, but those little tiny bits there help people, because I think that's one of the things we did, and that was the feedback I got when we was doing our cooking. It's like, yeah, I enjoyed that, but I ain't making it again, it took too long. And it just really kind of gave me an idea of what my clients were willing to do, what they weren't willing to do. But at least we did it in real time, you know, and people then know what they've got. I mean, you know, some things take a bit of time. But I've always said, like, you know, as a West Indian, I always take Mickey because, you know, you've got a chicken, it says it takes an hour and 20 minutes to cook. And then they might cook it for 2 hours. I'm like, the chicken was dead before you cooked it. You don't need to make sure it's definitely dead, you know, sort of thing. So you overcook it. But I say to my friends, if we were to go to a restaurant and they were to take as long to serve us as you take to make your meals, you wouldn't wait for it. So, you know, there's nutrition in the food, there's the way in which the preparation is done beforehand, and that's it. Sometimes you can prepare a couple of days before, then when it comes to cooking, you can just go in the fridge or the cupboard, take it out, bang, 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 and it's ready. So that makes sense. I keep saying that question, don't I? Anyway, look, I'm never going to run out of time now. So, guys, I'm wishing you well with recording. Everyday, honestly, it's such an important topic, and I'm really hoping that people will take note. You know, actually, without our health, we don't really have anything. And I did an article in LinkedIn last week, and I said, if our health is our true wealth, why so many of us are so poor? So I do pray that your recipes, when will they be ready then? When will the videos be ready so people can access?
They are already online. The printable and downloadable version is already online on the website, as mentioned. And follow on to that is Miguel is going to put together the videos, taking your hints and tips and tricks also into account, Jenny. And then hopefully they will be also available on social media from Miguel's side. And we are at Novo Nordisk very proud to be able to work with Miguel on this and also doing the surveys, getting the information and coming up with something for people living with diabetes to take one of their decisions slightly easier during the day. And that's really sticking with that healthy diet.
Amen. Thank you very much. Miguel, what are you on social media?
At Miguel Barclay. Pretty much everything I do goes through Instagram. So
that's okay.
I'm over. I have no time. So until next week in health and happiness, I really hope this has helped somebody. Stay blessed. Stay well. Jenny at jennyrussell.com.